Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 112, God Whose Almighty Word. 112. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him in truth. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, although you are high and mighty, far above the reach of our thought, yet you are near when in faith and humility we gather for worship and call upon you. We seek to give to our worship the right atmosphere and to place our thought in the right context by being made aware of your presence now and looking up to you as befits creatures looking up to their Creator. Lord, it is unworthy lives which we bring before you, lives striving to overcome the difficulties of following the Christian way and grappling with the temptations which beset us, lives littered with failure and faithlessness and lack of effort, lives which need your grace, the only thing which can lift them up and save them. Lift us up and save us now, Lord. Forgive our sin and failure, and lift us above the merely human and material, so that we may be inwardly aware of that higher level on which you call us to live. Make us aware of your power in Jesus Christ, power over sin and evil and death, power to withstand whatever the world can do, power to walk in the light as he is in the light. Help us to know that that power is available to us at all times and in all circumstances. And lead us to your own presence through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A few weeks ago, friends, Sandy here reminded me that beginning on June 12, we might have children attending the Sunday services, and so I needed to be prepared to speak a word to them if they were in church. But today, surprisingly, we don't have any children in church, except for those of us who are very young in heart, which maybe we are. It is surprising all the same that we don't have any at all here on Father's Day. Maybe they're at home trying to look after Father, and if that's the case, we should commend them. But in the meantime, let's sing the Young People's Hymn. It's from Junior Praise number 43, Father, Lead Me Day by Day, 43. We read God's word in the New Testament, the letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, at verse 21. Galatians, chapter 3, at verse 21. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, at verse 26. Luke chapter 8, at verse 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the devils had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And the Lord blessed to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 465, "Be Thou My Vision," 465.
Thank you.
The letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, at verse 23, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. What is a pedagogue? Something to do with your feet, we might instinctively reply, thinking of other words beginning with ped, like pedal and pedicure, and other words which have ped in them, like quadruped and biped. But no, those words all come from the Latin root, the root for a foot. Pedagogue comes from a Greek root. Strictly speaking, it ought to be spelt P-A-E-D, because it comes from the root meaning child, like pediatrics and encyclopedia. So, what is a pedagogue? It's an old word for an old functionary. A pedagogue was a childminder. Not your modern version of childminder, not the person who takes the baby off your hands so that mother can go back to work as soon as her maternity leave expires. Somebody hired from an agency who may have other children besides ours to look after during the day. A pedagogue functioned in a well-to-do Greek family in ancient times. He was one of the slaves of the household, but a tried and trusted slave, one who had been with the family for a long time, so that he'd become, as nearly as possible, a friend of the family. His job was to look after the mental and spiritual and moral welfare of the young boy as he was growing up. The one significant and important thing he had to do was to escort the boy to school. The pedagogue himself was not a teacher. It was his duty to bring the boy to his teacher and see that he was taught. Now, Paul is telling the Galatian Christians that this is the kind of function which the law is meant to perform in their Christian life. The law leads them to the teacher, and the teacher then takes over. Once the teacher has taken over, there's no further need for the law. It has served its purpose. It reminds me of going to university for the first time. We had a tradition whereby a new student would be attached to a senior man, and the senior man would be responsible for explaining all the traditions to him and helping him to find his feet. When the new student knew his way about, the senior man's job was done. The law, says Paul, is meant to lead us to our teacher. The law leads us to Jesus Christ. How does it do that? Well, it lets us see how helpless we are. We try to keep the law. We try to live by the law. We try to please God by keeping the law in a strict, regimented way. We try to do this and we fail. We come to see that it's only by God's own grace that we can live the way we ought to live. His grace and love, which come through Jesus Christ. So the law leads us to our teacher. The law, being inadequate by itself to help our human plight, leads us to cast ourselves on the mercy and goodness of God in Jesus Christ. But we have to be brought to see that. We have to see the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Somehow we have to be helped beyond the help which the law can give us. Until that happens, we are in a kind of captivity. Before this faith came, Paul says, we were prisoners in the custody of the law, pending the revelation of faith. We remain ongoing in our captivity, Paul means, until we are released by the revelation of faith, until faith enters into the scheme of things. Until then, we're prisoners, unable to live as we ought to live, and we may go on long enough in that situation unless God takes a hand in it. The Church of Scotland makes rules which we have to keep, but we also have to see beyond the rules. We have to keep in mind that the rules are there to help us towards the person. It is Jesus, the person, who matters. Jesus didn't come to break the rules or flout the rules, and he doesn't encourage law-breaking today either. But he does call us to go beyond the rules, progress to something deeper, something which is more to do with life and less to do with death. We have rules in other walks of life besides the church. Driving a car, we have to wear a seatbelt if we're driving or traveling in a car. We have to have a license for our television set. We have to pay our council tax. A lot of rules exist with which we have to comply because we live in a civilized community. Civilized communities have always been like that from the earliest of recorded times. Bring people together and we need to have rules for them to live by. But none of these rules is an end in itself. They're all intended to help us towards achieving some desirable purpose. People can get to the situation where they love the rules for their own sake. They can get more concerned with the rules and the keeping of the rules than with the purpose which the rules are meant to serve. Jesus, in his earthly life, was never caught in this trap. Many people were, but Jesus constantly guided people towards a better way. He seeks to guide you and me and the church of today to that better way also. What is the better way? It is the way of faith rather than the way of law. It's the way of trusting ourselves and our concerns and our dear ones, trusting them to God, rather than trying to make ourselves right with God by keeping strictly to a set of rules. It doesn't mean the rules are useless. Still less does it mean that they are evil. What it does mean is that we have to see the rules, the law, for what it is worth. We have to recognize it as a means to an end, and it is the end which matters. So what all this leads Paul to say is that we live our Christian life by faith and not by law. Faith is the keynote of our Christian living. The law only shows us our inadequacy. We need to use faith in order to live as we ought, in order to overcome the trials and the difficulties of the way, in order to enter into that quality of life which Jesus offers. Now we try in our church, we try in various ways to make our church more effective for God, so that the Lord Jesus Christ may become known to more and more people in our community. He will become known through us who are the church, the body of Christ in the world today. He will become known through what he's able to do through us. So we have to be ready for adventure, ready to go forward in faith. Faith is not blind hoping for the best while fearing the worst. Faith is trusting ourselves to the power which is greater than our power, the power which time and again has been able to work miracles in the lives of human beings and human institutions. When Jesus healed people during his earthly ministry, he often told them it was happening in response to their faith. The healing had become possible because they trusted themselves to the power which was at work in Jesus. The power which was at work in Jesus in the days of his earthly ministry is still at work today. It needs a vehicle through which to operate, and that's why we are reminded that the church is the body of Christ. It's through the church that Jesus brings about miracles today. miracles of healing, miracles of restoration, miracles of overcoming evil in all its forms. You and I have come to church today, and so we've opened the door for the Lord to teach us and come to us. It may be that in our faulty life, there are situations which need to be changed, and maybe knowing this weighs heavily on our mind, even while we sit here in church. Take heart, take courage, use faith, trust ourselves to the power which has been at work all down the Christian centuries. That same power will work in your life and mine, and in the lives of those we care about. Miracles will still happen. Trust ourselves to him. We need the power of God, not only as individuals, but also as a church. The power of God in Jesus Christ to change things. Change things from the way they are, maybe the way they have been for a long time, and make them different. Make the church more effective. Make it so that the Lord Jesus is unmistakably being made known in the community which the church is here to serve. The organized church is not the only vehicle of this miracle-working power. It would be arrogant of us to think it was, but the organized church is here for that purpose, and we are privileged to be part of it. It's not the organization which matters most of all. It's not the rules which are the be-all and end-all. Those things are there only to lead us to the teacher, to be our pedagogue, to lead us to him who has ever more to teach us of the riches of his wisdom and the depth of his love every day. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 547, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 547.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we lift up our hearts to you in gratitude for all your goodness. We bring our material offerings and ask you to bless them. Let them be a token that we yield and dedicate to you our whole life. We thank you, Lord, for the life which flows within us and for the mystery of life itself, for health of body and vitality of mind, for the love exchanged with dear ones and the friendships which brighten life, for the world we live in, its natural beauty and order, its manifold resources and its infinite possibilities for good. We thank you for the good things which happen in the world, many of them unpublicized, but all of them manifesting your goodness and mercy. We thank you for the goodness and mercy known in our own life, saving us from danger, helping us in trouble, guiding us in the right way to go. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ and the fundamental difference he makes to human life. We thank you that the world knows of him, and we pray that we may play our part in bringing about the day when the world will know him as the Lord himself. Lord, we are part of a family, the family which you have gathered together in heaven and on earth. We reach out in prayer to others of this family, asking for your blessing in whatever way it is needed in their lives. There are those who use the name of Christian as a banner under which to fight against others of your children. Help them to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is one throughout the world and beyond, and that its message is a message of peace. Bless the Church in all its work for Jesus. Help us as his messengers not to waste our time, not to refuse his challenge, but to go out into the world bringing his message of peace, using to the fullest every opportunity of service which may come our way. We pray for those who wield authority here on earth, our Queen and those who control the affairs of nations, all those everywhere who shoulder the responsibility of ruling others, teaching the young, influencing those around them. Let them all in their turn submit to your rule, accept your teaching, and be guided by your influence. We ask your help for those in need or trouble of any kind. Guide them and help them through. Bless those dear to us wherever they are and give them your peace. We give you thanks for lives lived out in faith, which have been an example and an inspiration to others, not least to ourselves. Give us grace to be faithful to good examples and to live so as to leave a good example for others after us, and bring us to our eternal home through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 483, Father of Heaven, Whose Love Profound. 483. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.